welcome to Broad Little Lies with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We are here to talk about Season 2, Episode 7, the finale of Season 2 called I Want to Know. Hello.
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 You know, this was the first week that I could not figure out where the title came from.
You're right. Yeah, I couldn't place it either upon further reflection.
That's a good point. I went into the episode wanting to know how Perry's brother died, but that's not where the title came from. So, yeah.
Right.
Maybe it's just how we all collectively felt coming into the episode.
Yes.
I guess so.
Everyone wanted to know something.
Yes. Quinlan wanted to know.
Which we didn't even see Quinlan. Initial reactions. There was a whole lot of storylines. I know we talked about this a little last week. There were a whole lot of storylines that kind of didn't really get as fully fleshed out in the end as I thought they were going to be in the...
Agreed. The yeah. Quinlan particularly, feels like perhaps that was something that was shot. And then given the controversy that was revealed last week, that
right.
perhaps that was something that got re-edited to keep it in the style of Big Little Lies.
Right. Yeah. Like maybe if each episode had been like 60 minutes, it would have...
Right. The original version that was shot.
Right.
I think in there.
We did get a reminder, I think, in the like last time on or previously on
right.
About her. And then of course the way it ends, she's there by implication. We were reminded earlier that like, oh yeah, this is still like an ongoing investigation. But yeah, she didn't get any sort of like on screen gotcha moment.
Right.
Humble didn't get paid for that episode.
Well, okay. So my first takes before we go into a little bit more would be I didn't hate it. So that's good. I thought there were some strengths and some
strong
weaknesses. No, there was some good and some bad. And again, I like what we talked about last week. I don't know if it's because I looked through this with different glasses now that we know this isn't what was intended from, you know, the get-go, but or it was, but just not by the person that was directing it. So I don't know if it was that or if there were just some things to me that didn't make sense. I took a very weird issue with the fact that Bonnie and Jane were not dressed for Superior Court in the manner that I thought that they should have been dressed.
Yeah, right? I noticed that too. That felt real weird.
Yeah.
I mean, also it's California. I don't know. I honestly didn't even notice it.
Their courthouse
the court on her way to work.
Right. Like their courthouse also looked like this giant Airbnb. So like the exterior shot, I was like
yurt.
Well, that's what I said.
We saw an outside of it. It is round. It's a round
right.
building. It's a yurt.
I said that to Jay. I was like, that's their courthouse? That does not look courthousey, but you know, whatever. I don't know California architecture. I only just got back from there 12 hours ago, 24 hours ago at this point. So. But yeah, no. So my initial thoughts were it went places I wanted it to. It felt choppy at other times. The montage I thought was real weird. But overall, I liked it. And I think I would probably watch a season 3. Yeah. That's what I got.
Yeah, my feelings are, I mean, I thought there were some like satisfying slash
yes.
almost cartoony though things that I was fine with. I was fine with the cartooniness
yeah.
of it. And I'm basically happy with the way that it ended. And for me, that's like a way to end the series altogether. If there's a season 3, it's hard to say that I wouldn't watch a TV show that's filmed in Monterey and stars, you know, such a star-studded cast.
Right.
So, like, if it's on, I'm going to watch it. But I don't feel like I need a season 3.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? I like the characters, so I think I would still be invested in their story. I would like to see a happier, more in charge of her life Bonnie get to actually live her best life.
Totally.
Celeste, I want to see Renata make a comeback.
Yes.
I do. Like, I'm invested in that. Celeste, I want to see her in the courtroom more because she was great.
Yeah.
I would like to see what, however it lasts, a more docile and homemaker-y Madeline Martha McKenzie is like. So, yeah. And I guess, I don't know, Jane, I'd like to see you too.
I'd like to see her again. Maybe with longer bangs. Maybe with a...
Without bangs.
A side with, swipe.
Yes, yeah, side swipe bangs. Headband, maybe. Layers. Yeah.
But yeah, I think I too came out of the episode a little lukewarm. And the more I've thought about it, the more the episode to me kind of feels like eating Taco Bell. That it's really satisfying and seems like a really good idea in the moment. But a few hours later, it's like not as satisfying.
Right.
2 hours later, you have to take a massive shit.
Yeah. Right.
Or like, you know, like eating a whole pizza or ordering a big giant ice cream sundae. That like in the moment, it's so satisfying and it's so good. But then a little while later, you're like, oh, this was not the best thing I could have done for myself. Like, I feel like all the stories, we got what we wanted, and I'm not certain that that's a good way to tell a story, particularly in a series that has been so complicated and surprising and interesting. It felt a little like a cop-out in the end for me.
Well, totally. And that's for me, like, when I say that for me, it was like parts of it were a little cartoony. That's kind of like what I mean. It was satisfying. It's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Celeste kill it in the courtroom, and she did. You know, I wanted to see Madeline and Ed stay together, and I loved the way that they are staying together with the renewed vows. I was like, oh, yay.
Right.
Even though, like, what's up with the boxing? But we'll get into that. But, like, I liked all these things and they were satisfying as a viewer. But again, it's like, I agree with you. It's sort of weird for a show to do that. And I don't think that usually happens if there's going to be another season in particular. Agreed. You can't just like give the audience what they want to see and have, I mean, it's open. There are places they can go.
Life after the lie is.
You don't have to. And I feel like even what they did give us, they didn't try that hard. Like they just, it almost felt a little bit like a capitulation, you know, like there could have been a little more drama. Like things could have been a little more complicated with like Ed and Madeline that didn't have to tie up so nicely.
See, like, oh, I have some
Mary
to say
Louise
about
didn't
that.
Have to just pack her bags and go home to San Francisco. Like, like, it just was all a little too easy.
Wait, pick me. I have something. Okay. So it's funny that you say that with Ed and Madeline is I actually thought that the storyline, like what you just said, you hope it wouldn't have been that easy. I feel like that was what the entire season was for them. So to me, but he finally like, you know, got that aggression, like he punched it out of his system with the which I guess makes him probably the most decent husband there. Right.
Sure. I think he was ranked worst, actually, in
he was what?
That was going around.
Oh, yeah.
Worst husband. Well, I mean, because Perry's dead. Perry obviously is the worst. But
wait, you think that he was the worst husband?
That was in an article that I saw going around.
Really?
They ranked the three husbands and they put him as worst.
Why? I don't. Oh, my goodness.
Because he is so apathetic. And just like doesn't seem to really like engage with Madeline or care that much.
I thought he was just being mad.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
I think if we also go back to season one, Ed, and it sort of like joins up with what the therapist said to him.
Right. I refuse to not remember. In my mind, I would like to not keep bearded Ed in my head. I would rather we just pretend like that era of Ed never happened.
Yeah. And then the other thing you said that after the Ed thing, oh, Mary Lou is packing your bags. Well, what else is she going to do? The woman got owned.
I don't know. I feel like someone who, like that character, always had a comeback. She never gave up. And the fact that she just like had the door shut in her face and was like, okay, well, I guess I'm done here. it felt like they could have left it open in another way. Like maybe her like plotting something else or I don't know. It felt a little out of character that she would just leave.
I
think it was Matt Loves TV who said that Meryl Streep's not going to be signing up, or maybe it was Dennis. I can't remember, but somebody was like, yeah, they're not going to get Meryl Streep for two seasons. She's not going to sign on for another season. So like her character had to kind of head back home.
She's right. Here. She did. She's going to collect her Emmy and her Golden Globe and then she can go home.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, Mary Louise or Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman are winning all the awards, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. As satisfying as that courtroom scene was, like, let's all be frank, like, that was just to get them their nominations for their multiple awards.
Yeah, they are winning. Like, let's be real. And maybe Laura Dern's getting thrown in there, too.
Oh, well, yes.
I hope so.
She was the star of the season. I mean, Meryl Streep was the star of the season, but also Renata.
Renata.
Up until the very last scene of her, she was just awesome this season.
Yeah.
Those are the redeeming things. Again, we come back to the wonderful cast and their performances.
Yeah. I think we've moved into the bigger kind of discussion of it all. So where do we want to start? I mean, do we want to finish this whole Celeste thing, see it out?
Yeah.
Why don't we start with Celeste because it was the heaviest, and we will end with Renata because it was the most satisfying.
Yeah. And the episode started from Celeste's point of view.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so it was the most clear out of all the memories. Like, it was, nobody was like talking over each other and echoey, and it was the most clear of all of them. So,
yeah.
I did notice that. So, yes, Celeste had a lot of flashbacks all episode of all sorts of things. Good, bad, ugly, murdery. Yeah, like Celeste is somebody, if we need to get a season three, we're going to have to see more of her probably emotional healing, right?
Yeah, and that's actually something I watched. I noticed that there's a part three and part four of that roundtable discussion now on the HBO website.
Oh,
and I watched those before just earlier today. And that's something that they talked a lot about, particularly in part four, was just the whole process of healing. And that was an interesting discussion. So they, you know, talk about it, obviously, from all these different characters and where they are in the process. Zoe Kravitz mentions that healing isn't always pretty. And so we see, like, you know, different characters sort of in the throes of healing. And I think we really saw Celeste come a long way. And they said also in that roundtable discussion, it was really important for them not to begin the season with just like post-healing, like everyone's good now.
Right.
And to really like get into that. But I think that we saw so much growth from Celeste that clearly things are still difficult, but I agree. Like, if there was a season three, I certainly, like, again, I would watch it and I would be interested to see like what she does now that she's like a single mother, and but she still has a lot of PTSD to deal with and the cycle of abuse and every, you know, just like that whole thing. But I think she's ready to take it on.
Yeah.
I love we saw some real true strength from Celeste that I feel like we haven't seen quite so much. And I would love to see her go back to work as a lawyer because
yeah,
I
thought
it was so great to see her in that arena.
Totally.
And forget that it was just like a great scene and really well acted. And yeah, I mean, a little weird that like it was even a thing to begin with, but like whatever.
Right,
it was so good. Like, I can forgive it. It was awesome.
Right.
But I would love in season three, if there was a season three, to like see her going back to work and like, let's just freaking make it like a How to Get Away with Murder, like courtroom drama with Celeste.
Well, and let's not forget that the whole reason she stopped working in the first place was that
Perry wanted her. Yeah.
I would say request or / requirement because he wanted her stay-at-home mom. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where she went, and she probably got the taste back. And now, although I'm sure she has, you know, money coming in from Perry's estate or whatever, but like if they want to earn more money, like,
right,
it makes sense for her to go back to work.
Right.
It's a good thing for her kids to see too. And I could totally see it.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, I'd love to see her go into like some sort of nonprofit lawyering. So like to help in her healing process, that she becomes like a defender for like other like abused women. And, like, I could totally see that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we find out that Mary Louise's son, Raymond, and this was actually horrible for me. Like, I felt like I wanted to throw up while watching this. But at the same time, it also felt like kind of a cop-out. So I guess she lost her temper while driving and had a car crash, and because she was yelling at Perry, I guess. And that caused Raymond to die in the back seat of the car, but Perry was okay. And she blamed Perry and, you know, I guess emotionally abused him. And then that began physical abuse with Celeste. And while, yes, I understand that that is probably plausible, it also felt like it was I don't know.
Do you mean in terms of the abuse or in terms of the death of Raymond?
The death of Raymond.
Yeah. I think it's totally plausible. If a car crash, not all the people in the car die, but one of them does for whatever reason.
You're right. No, I think
and that is coming from. I think the thing is Mary Louise has a temper, and
yes, but we haven't seen it. But it's there because.
Right. But it's certainly there
and flashes of it, yeah. But never the.
Yes, the crazy screaming. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot the crazy screaming.
Right?
That's right. We thought she was a psychopath. We
it's
were
like
right.
More just like a mood swing than a temper.
Right. But so I think that we can assume that like her losing her temper at Perry this one time in the car wasn't like a one-time thing, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, the kind of environment that they had growing up anyway. And then this complicates it. And
yeah.
Yeah, which is even to like take it a step further than that. It's like, yes, that was implausible. But I think the thing that I almost found more confusing is why that was just coming up now and how Celeste was like, oh, Perry told me this. It's like, well, then why did you just remember that Perry told you this? Like, why hasn't it come up before now?
Right.
Did I miss something?
Plot point.
Right.
I think I can sort of accept that because I think that Celeste was so on the defensive and so taken by surprise of this whole thing. She didn't even think until last episode to question the fitness of Mary Louise.
Right. Well,
and
also
so
I think
she has to sort of take a step back and think like, okay, what was Mary Louise like as a parent? Oh yeah. One of her kids died. So I think it's more coming from a place that wasn't her focal point because she was so focused on like just the whole like surprise of like, oh my God, this person is trying to take away my children. Not to mention, like, I don't know how her brain is really functioning on the Ambien. Like, can she really concentrate on a lot of things? Right. You know, she's in a state.
You make a good point.
Right.
I will say, though, I was expecting, and maybe this would have been even more cartoony, but I was expecting the way that Raymond died to be just, like, a little bit more, I don't know, like, salacious or scandalous. Or...
Okay, yeah, I think that's what I'm, that is what I... I'm talking about like that. I was horrified and sick to my stomach over it because I can't imagine like having a car crash and you know, your kid dying, even if it's like the first time you lose your temper, because I have two children. I lose my temper with them.
Or even if it's just a car crash, that's not like your fault.
Right. But yeah, I think what you're saying, Shandy, about it being, you know, more salacious was probably what I was thinking as well.
Yeah.
But do we think that, I'm trying to frame a question. Give more opinions and I'll come back to it.
I was surprised that Celeste mentioned Jane during that whole courtroom scene. When she sort of brought her into it, I was like, is this public knowledge? Because it is now.
Well, I think once the school knew, because everybody in school knew, Chloe knew, but so like, clearly it was public knowledge.
The public record, official court document, this is written down now.
Yeah. Actually, so I had the same thought in regards to the Jane thing, but what I was going to say is, why were the children there?
Well, that's a good question.
Like, A?
Yeah. Yeah, no,
they're young. Like I was under the impression that they did not ask children what they wanted to, like which parent they wanted to stay with until they were probably like 12, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah,
not
14,
9.
Right. Well, and in hindsight, it seemed unnecessary. Like in the scene where they're like talking and like she's getting them ready. Like I thought that was a really beautiful scene and really like demonstrate how good of a mom Celeste is. But then it's like when you actually get to the courtroom scene and like it really was like, oh, that it was a cheap right. ploy to get some dialogue in, because it's like the kids right. didn't need to be there in the end.
Well, I actually yeah. wrote down at that point, like the last courtroom scene, I was like, is the judge ever going to get to finish what she wants to say?
I was really annoyed at that. I was like, how dare you stand up and interrupt the judge? What? Mary Louise.
Right. Yeah. Like Nicole, Celeste did it last episode. Mary Louise did it this episode. Like, she's a superior court judge. Like,
right. Does she not have a gavel? Can someone give that woman a gavel? Right. Shut up.
Like, she just lets everybody. Does she have control over her courtroom?
Clearly not.
Clearly not. That must be how you hippie Californian elitist coastal people do it.
You know, smoked a doobie and came out and like, let's try this thing.
Yeah, let's do it. I put my pants on under these robes this morning. Let's go. just very, very taken aback that the judge never got to, like, nobody had respect for her. Well, clearly yeah. nobody had respect for that court, since they were all dressed like they were going to friggin' IHOP. So
they all have cars. Like, Jane could have put an outfit in her house in her car. She right. changed on the way in.
Renata and her like beat up old car at the end. I felt so bad. speaking of cars, but the kids, like, anything could have come out that those kids could have heard. Like, what did they need to be there for?
They did not need to be there. It just they were a plot device. It was like, so you could have that scene with Celeste and them in the beginning, and so you could have that scene where Celeste tells them to go over and give Mary Louise a hug.
Exactly.
That's literally exactly. the reason why the kids were there.
Right. Yeah. And the video that she finds, that's like the perfect, what's it, Deus Ex Machina? Yeah. Deus Ex Machina? Somebody correct my Latin.
I have no idea. I never took Latin.
Deus?
Deus Ex Machina. You know, where like the plot, you have this magical solution to a plot that makes it all work out.
That falls into your iPad.
That falls into your iPad, yeah.
Falls into your iPad.
That's pretty funny, actually.
But when she was first watching the iPad, I was like, oh, what's on the iPad, Celeste?
Oh no! See, iPad. That's funny. I thought she was
good. I'm good.
I thought she was gonna start flicking it to the iPad again, because we had the flashbacks, you know. So I thought for sure that we were gonna get another one of those. And alas,
I don't understand how this works. Like, maybe because I don't have kids, or maybe it's just, I don't know. But like, how many videos are on there that she doesn't know of?
Okay,
like, is this
yes.
iPad just like shared by all the members of the family? Like, that seems strange.
Thank you. Well, unless she had her kids' iCloud information and like all their stuff automatically uploaded, which is totally possible. But how is it that she never saw that video before?
Right.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, we know she's
recent video.
Yeah.
She's how far back was she scrolling? To right. like, find this thing.
Uh-huh.
Right, exactly. But so that brings me up to, I think, probably the last two things I really have with Celeste is, one, she has this very moving line in the car with Madeline, and she says, how could I let them live in that house? How could I let them see such things? They saw so much more than I knew. And I yeah. think that really speaks to really what the boys were like last season, that we didn't yeah. put it all together at once, where mm-hmm. Max was mm-hmm. biting and abusing poor right, exactly. Amabella. But and then, you know, that comes back around at the end where she's like, my kids took this video, so the memory that you think I'm tarnishing is already tarnished. They just yep. don't really understand yeah. it. I just thought that was really powerful and kind of serves as a reminder that kids see and understand more than we think.
Totally.
And that comes back into play with Bonnie, right? Where she's remembering all these things from her mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because kids really do, they might not say anything, but they do observe more than you think. And you don't realize it until they mimic you or they say something. I came back yesterday, God, it feels like ages ago, from San Diego, and I had two bottles of milk for Alex in a carry-on, and I had an ice pack. And of course, the ice pack, by the time we got to the airport, it wasn't 100% frozen, and they deemed it was like a big, like, block, but they like shook it and then deemed it that I had to throw it out. Right. And I was have a 7-hour travel day ahead of me. Like,
like, what are you supposed to do?
Because it had too much liquid. So they threw it out. They were like, you can either leave the line and check it in your bags, or you can check it, or, you know, we're going to throw it
out. Kind of negates the purpose of bringing the milk with me if you're going to make me check.
I know. I was so annoyed. And I even said to them, I was like, by the way, I think that we can all here agree that this is bullshit and I'm not going to blow up a plane with an ice pack, but cool. I may have gotten a little bit feistier when I was like, we can't solve gun violence, but thank God they're taking my freaking ice pack.
For real.
I was really mad. I was polite to them. So, okay, I was polite. I was somewhat polite to them. I have a point to this story. But we get into the elevator to go to the gate because we have the stroller. And Jay and I are fighting because I'm like, that's when I was like, we can't fucking solve gun violence, blah, 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 blah. They got my ice pad. And he's like, you knew that they probably could have taken it. Why didn't you just blah, 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 blah? And I was like, because I didn't know. They let me take it on the first time. And like, so we're like arguing in this elevator. And my 5-year-old goes, guys, stop fighting right now. It's just an ice pack.
Snap.
He literally is like, guys, exclamation point.
There you go.
So, and we just stopped in our tracks. We're like, okay, you're right. But like, kids take in more than you think. Yeah, is the point of my story.
So wise.
Hopefully his lesson was that, you know, never fight with your future partner over an ice pack.
There are things more important than a thrown out ice pack.
Yeah. And
the
then,
principle of the thing.
Right. But, yeah. The principle. Why did we only get one scene with all the school people?
That's true. I missed the principle real bad. That would have been a real treat to see him one more time before the end of the season.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Especially with everyone's fall from grace.
Right. Wouldn't have been the second most satisfying scene would be the principal and Renata.
Part deux. Yeah. Especially now that the nanny stuff has come out.
Oh. Yep. Which, speaking of, we can move into Renata. No, I don't want to move into Renata yet. I want to end with her because she's the best.
Yeah.
Ed, boxing. And then they have this wonderful line, actually, that I actually really was like, oh, where Chloe is like, he seems mad. And Abigail was like, well, that must mean that he loves her a lot. That was really sweet.
I thought that was very wise words from a teen.
Right.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. I thought that was great too.
Yeah.
Although I do have this note that Ed is all about boxing. What's up with the men and the aggression?
Well, at least he took it out on the boxing.
Well, on the one hand, like, this is a healthy way to get it out. But the symbolism too is like, I mean, Madeline even said, like, are you imagining me when you're hitting that? Like, yeah, all the men are super aggro. Like,
was Nathan though? Because Nathan was only really super aggro towards Ed.
Well, I mean, Nathan is really just a pile of nothing. So,
and now even more so. But yeah, I don't know if he's aggro in all situations, but that was enough to be like, dude, grow the fuck up and get over your toxic masculinity.
Right. I will say, though, jumping for a second, I really loved the way that the Bonnie Ed, I don't love you and I've never loved you, I don't think I've ever loved you scene was acted. Bonnie Nathan, I'm sorry. I thought that scene was so well acted.
Yeah. Too.
Yeah.
And I was honestly just the slightest bit surprised because I half expected her to tell him about
He did. Pushing. She did. I think she did.
She did later, but in that moment, I thought that's what it was going to be. And when she came out with her truth about their relationship, I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
But also, like, get it, girl.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. In that moment, that seemed like the more important truth to unveil.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so Ed, Madeline, you know, Madeline, we didn't really get a whole lot from her the last few episodes. Her storyline was pretty quick. But I love that they renewed their vows. I really did. My husband cried multiple times. And he was like, I'm getting so teary-eyed. And I was like, well, that's because anytime Adam Scott is involved with a wedding, you seem to cry.
It's easy to do. I get it.
Like, seriously, he has watched the Parks and Rec scene, that episode, the proposal and the wedding, and he cries every time. And I'm like, you've seen this like 5 times, both
That's
of them.
That's a great character.
It always just hits you in a slightly different place.
Apparently.
I loved what Ed said about people changing.
Yeah.
I'm not the same person I was when we got married. Neither are you. Yeah. And I really love that because, like, my husband and I talk about that all the time. How, like, I mean, and it's like Ed said, when you get married, it's like this leap of faith. And I do, I mean, I definitely subscribe to that because you yourself don't know who you are going
right.
to be in 10 years, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and how you are going to change and develop as a person. And you sure as hell don't know, like, what your partner's going to be like. And all you can sort of hope is that you can work on growing together while not impeding the other one from, you know, developing and flourishing and still having enough, like, common ground and in common that you keep choosing each other even all these years later. And I just really liked that.
I did too.
Yeah, well put.
I did too. That was, yeah, very well put.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talk about it all the time. So.
Nope. Everything you said, agreed.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I have nothing to add to that.
Highlight it, yes.
And you know what I would really love, if we do get a season 3, I would love to explore a happy Madeline and Ed and what that new dynamic is. And it was actually really hysterical when she was like, for better or for worse. And he was like, yeah, your worst is off the table.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that made me laugh real hard.
I mean, it is. It's fair and it's not because, like,
I think he was joking around. Like,
I do. No, I agree. I agree. It was a fun joke and it was, like, apropos and everything. But I mean, there is something to be said about how, like, that, like, cheating on Ed is a hurtful thing to do. There are a million ways that you can and do hurt your significant other.
Yeah.
And as a society, we've deemed cheating to be the worst one, but I would maybe call that into question. It's just like, maybe we don't need to rank them.
I think that we've seen all of the husbands. And we've run the gamut, right? I mean, husbands and wives, because we have had the cheating. We've had the cheating
the
and
fortune.
The fortune.
Right.
The cheating and the family fortune.
At least we forget that.
We've had the abusing, whatever else. We've run the gamut of terrible things that people do to each other. And I think, Shandy, you're right, on a scale of family fortune to domestic abuse, cheating probably isn't the worst in this case.
Definitely.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, to buying a treadmill. Let's not forget that. That one was pretty egregious. Getting an outdoor runner a treadmill. That was awful.
Yep, yeah.
True. Very thoughtful. It's a very thoughtful gift.
The only other thing of note that I, you know, had about Madeline this episode, and maybe I missed something, but I thought that it was very, well, A, convenient and Madeline-like, but poignant that she came back to Celeste and said, you know, this lie has a shelf life, and I think that we've reached it. And it's, you know, it's, I'm now seeing, I think Madeline, we must have missed, there must have been scenes that were cut out where Madeline had all sorts of, like, come to Jesus moments, or how she arrived at them, but here she was. And she says, she just talks about, like, how it's ruining everyone, including myself. So yeah. I think we saw
quite a bit last episode of Madeline unraveling.
We did.
Yeah. It's just her storyline. It was more truncated, I think, than some of the others, I feel like.
Yes.
There's a bit as a viewer that you had to kind of connect some dots to get there.
I mean, there was a whole weekend getaway in Big Sur.
I know. A whole weekend getaway.
A whole weekend getaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, who else? Jane.
So I was right. Corey is too boring to be a plant.
Yeah.
Amanda, you had this wonderful theme back at the start of this podcast that we were going to see whatever the big climax was, it was going to happen in the aquarium. And I still don't think that you're wrong. I think that Andrew Arnold might have planned all of that, but it didn't, unless the climax in the aquarium was Jane and we missed something.
Right.
Ba-dum-cha.
True. We did get that beautiful image of them kissing right in front of the big tank. And I have so many pictures like right there.
Really?
Right. Yeah. It's a, I will actually, I'll post a, do a little Instagramming of that.
Awesome.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that Jane got to have, you know, sort of a happy ending and seems to have come around and all of a sudden in one episode be able to like, you know, be physically intimate with someone again. Like, okay. But then there is part of that that still sort of plays into this narrative that we see all too often of like the male pursuer not hearing the no, even though Corey is a quote unquote nice guy. That part was just like, I don't know. I mean, I can't hate him because he's like, he is nice. He did turn out to be nice, but also, yeah.
Well,
I don't
she
know.
She went up to him at the end, right? And was like,
I think he
went up to her. Oh, yeah.
Her.
Okay. I think she initiated the
like,
conversation.
Oh, you're done with work.
Yeah. You're right.
Just standing there contemplating the fishes and.
As one does.
Right.
But you know
I
what?
I think you could like for devil's advocate, like you could say if Jane was like, I said go away. I think he probably would, but I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah.
Shandy, that it was a little too but rescuing of the damsel.
Yeah. Corey's having fun, y'all. So it's all good. He said, I'm having fun.
Yep. There'll be more surfing in Jane's future.
All the paddle boarding.
All the paddle boarding.
I think that Jane's storyline was probably one of the other ones that was more kind of cut short for the sake of editing and really the sake of the Celeste Mary Louise storyline it was told and like we saw like it was told, we saw it, and it wasn't so much like to me it wasn't like it, she just like leapt right into it because it was kind of set up to me like with the Ziggy scene about love and like he was kind of giving her the blessing in the beginning that to me when they finally ended up hooking up more so I thought okay that's probably like she's had this cathartic release with seeing the Celeste stuff. She's had this release with her son being like it's so, you know, seemingly okay with it, that maybe that gave her the courage to see if she could do that. And I was fine with that. Which, by the way, we didn't mention that scene where the women are all watching Celeste's video of the abuse. Their reactions and like the courtroom reactions are incredible. Like everybody does something and it's very true to character. And it's just, if you go back and rewatch that like 8 seconds, it's very good. Like the acting.
Acting is the thing that happens in between lines.
Yeah. Like very, very good. So yeah, like I guess, I don't know. I like Tom, the waiter, bartender, whoever he was better, but whatever.
Yeah, barista. Well,
yeah. We'll take Corey.
Yeah. He's maybe fine, she needs a Corey in her life.
He's better than Corey. He's more of a personality than Nathan. So we'll give him that.
Exactly. True. And I still think that it was pointless to tease us for a week if he was a informant or not, or a cop, just to have it be like a whole big nothing burger, but whatever.
Right. That really felt unnecessary.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff this season that kind of felt unnecessary, which again, I think was, why did we have to have every episode be 42 minutes? Couldn't we have pushed that hour mark? And we're on HBO. Yeah. Game of Thrones did it. Let's do this.
There was a whole retreat that we didn't get to see.
There was a whole retreat.
Audience members are enraged by it.
Enraged.
They don't know what they're missing. Yeah.
Yes.
No, but with Jane, like I get what you're saying, Colleen, about like all these different factors that have helped her maybe, I don't know, get some closure, or like, I don't know, heal, I suppose.
Yeah, heal.
To the point where she's able to all of a sudden be super physically comfortable with Corey. But it's just like the scene a couple of episodes when they like almost hooked up and then didn't, it's like, there's this very, like the body remembers, you know? So it's a very physical way that she reacted to him that you can't just cure in, you know?
Oh yeah. No, I'm not saying that you could just cure it. And I mean,
that was
also cut short by the ending. So who knows if there wasn't like a take it slow or, you know, one of those like token, like, hold on, kind of things.
Right. And to be fair, and what we've sort of discussed and what we know about Andrea Arnold's directing style, she probably did shoot a lot of stuff where like a really beautiful kind of wandering camera of them like trying to like figure out what being intimate now looks like that probably just didn't make it into the episode. And I think, as you know, we're all kind of discussing, it's a detriment to her storyline.
Exactly.
It would have been nice to see what that looks like.
So we've always had in this show a lot of drama and a lot of like over the top stuff, but there's always been mixes of real people reaction. And I think that's always been to the benefit of the show, like with the complicated nature of Celeste and her abuse, where I think you're right, Amanda, with whatever was going on with the editing this season, we kind of miss getting that. We got that from Jane, yes, but we kind of miss getting the follow through with that with Jane. Like, you know what I mean? It kind of felt victim to the courtroom scenes. Like, or wait, we need to start the episode with one more flashback of what happened that night. We can't keep this scene with Jane and Corey in. It's kind of important, but
it's,
I mean,
gotta go. Audience gotta can go. Connect the dots.
You gotta go. We need one more scene of Perry on the couch with his boys, just in case the audience didn't get that she kind of was conflicted still.
The audience might forget what Perry looked like.
Right.
We need to like just put a finer point on that, I think.
He's a handsome fucking man, but like we're cool. We could have seen more of the rape survivor dealing with being physical again.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you know, just notes for next time around.
You know,
take it or leave it.
Exactly. So Bonnie,
I was so scared so many times that she was going to kill her mother, and I was going to be like, I'm done.
My husband kept shouting. My husband kept shouting. She's going to do it.
I'm out.
Right. We can't have two season enders where Bonnie kills someone. It's not how you tell stories.
No.
Very thankful that didn't happen.
Yes. Yeah. Same here. So were we meant to believe that all of this like vision kind of stuff was her mom like giving her visions the way that she had her visions or whatever, saying like, I don't want to be alive anymore? Like, is that what that was supposed to be? Like, because she sits in her bed with the pillow. She's like, so you don't want to be here anymore? But it was a sweet moment when she said that she loved her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In retrospect, I mean, at the time you were like, oh, please don't smother her after you do this. Well, my husband kept thinking that he poisoned her at the end. Like, she poisoned her.
I thought that too, actually. And then I was like, no. And that's what I was like, still out?
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, God. No one. I'm so glad I've been off the internet for 2 days. I don't know if I can handle this. But Bonnie's story, I mean, it was weird. The season, and there were parts of it I think we've talked about that we were like, this is a choice. But I think I liked how they told, as revealed last week, like when I pushed him, I pushed you. Like I dealt with that. I liked how that was done. The vision stuff was weird because it had, to me, it didn't really have a conclusion other than like she knew her mom wanted to die. And then I guess it was wrapped up. And I did kind of like, even though it was a really weird montage, they were like, Celeste, you have won your kids back. But let's immediately cut to a scene of Bonnie's dead mom.
And I think it was an interesting
juxtaposition
parallel between Celeste, who found her strength by being like bigger, bolder, more aggressive, dare I say. And I think Bonnie found this very...
She found
inner quiet, calm strength that paired very nicely between the two. They both kind of went on a similar journey, but it presented very, very differently.
Yeah.
And I think I took all those flashes and visions and stuff as just another way that Bonnie is forever tied to her mom. That like,
yeah,
in a family, I like that. You take the bad and the good, and they are connected and intertwined regardless. And I think that was part of the stuff that like keeps those two characters connected.
I actually really liked that. To me, I interpreted that she found her peace to tell Nathan and, you know, confess presumably at the end. and Say Goodbye to Her Mother, where we saw that scene where her mom says, I'm sorry, when she wakes up. Mm-hmm. And then she goes back to this peaceful moment on the beach, hugging her mom, and her mom is carrying her when she was a little girl. Honestly, I didn't realize that she was dead until we saw that scene.
Yeah.
At first, I thought she was just sleeping. And then, you know, I saw that scene, and then it cuts to the empty bed, and she's picking up the cards. And I was like, oh, wait, she died?
I always took it that she died in between that. Like, we didn't see the actual moment.
No, we didn't. I don't think that we did. But I did really like that we had that flashback in that moment. That I think that must be, like, a happy moment for Bonnie. And then I really liked that Bonnie found her voice at the end to tell Nathan, and she found it last week to tell her mom, then tell Nathan, and then to presumably tell Quinlan at the end. And I really loved how the other women rallied around her and showed up to be there.
Oh, yeah. No, that was great. But I was going to say, like I said earlier from that roundtable video where Zoe was talking about Bonnie's healing process and how, like, basically in, like, last season, she thinks that she's sort of healed herself through her yoga and her meditation. And, I mean, we could even add also through her marriage to Nathan, but it's all kind of just, like, masking the actual work underneath that still needs to be done that comes out with the stuff with Perry. And then we see her in the throes of, like, this really hard process because it's like then she's like ripped off this giant Band-Aid. And so at the beginning of season two, she's really struggling. And then, like you were just saying, Colleen, by the end, it's like one by one, she sort of finds her place and way to actually tell her truth to all of these different people. Starting from, like, really, you know, her earliest truth, which is her mother, her, like, the first figure in her life. And then she has to tell Perry, who is, like, you know, she's been married to for the past however many years.
Nathan.
And then, who did I say?
Perry.
Oh, God. And she has to tell Nathan, and then going to, I guess, the highest, like, legal stakes, but maybe the less emotional stakes, but going to the present day to tell Quinlan. But I loved, like, again, when everyone showed up, it was like, okay, transportation time, and where are you coming from? Like, you know, sure, you all got there at the same time and whatever. But like, again, that was a little bit cartoony, but I was fine with it because it was nice to see them all there, and I liked that.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. Well, and are we led to believe that Madeline leaves her own, like, wedding renewal party?
We sure
party?
Are. I thought that was weird, too, but yes, yeah. We are.
It's when, like, she's just, like, gotten things back together with Ed. And she's like, I'm sorry, I have to go do something and I can't tell you.
Or finally she's like, so Ed, now that we're, like, you know, have renewed our vows, here's this giant secret I've been keeping from you for the whole last year. And by the way, I got to go to the cops. So
okay, bye.
You later, bye. Yeah.
I think I kind of also picture it as Jane came clean and Madeline came clean, and then they all went there together. Because we know Bonnie came clean because she's, you know, Nathan's like, can I go with you?
Well, and the flower crown was off, the hair was undone. So, like, my hope is that, yeah, some time had elapsed.
Yes, hopefully. Although, I guess that ties back to the beginning of the episode where Nicole Kidman or Celeste tells Madeline the lie is the friendship. And at the end, they all came together to go in as one. And I thought that that was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that that was set up to be proven wrong, that they moved past the lie and they are just
friends.
Because we have seen enough examples of that. The fact that they all showed up in the courtroom for Celeste time and time again, they always do show up for each other. So, yes, the friendship started as a lie, but I'm so glad that they really put a fine point on that it has moved past that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally, Renata. She had, like, 1.5 scenes with Gordon, if that. No, one scene in which she managed to steal the entire episode and take a baseball bat to his toys because he fucking deserved it. He was just, oh my God, infuriating in that moment. If I had come home to my empty house and I have, oh, by the way, her conversation with Mary Louise, we are wrought, Mary Louise. That was beyond amazing. And then she's like, you know, don't judge me, you judgy judger.
I loved that.
That was awesome. And you know that they just were like, you know what, let's give Laura and Meryl another scene together. Why not?
Totally. That was great.
Okay, so, yeah, she comes home, and Gordon is like, the whole house is empty. He's like, guess what, bitch? I get to keep my toys.
How is Gordon not the worst husband?
I know.
Come on. Like every opportunity to be a human being, he goes in the opposite direction. Come on.
At first, I thought he was drunk because he sounded slurry. And I was like, oh, God.
I mean, he's a terrible human being.
I know, but we didn't have any of that. And then before I saw the baseball bats, I said to my husband, I was like, oh, she is going to take one of those fucking bottles and she is going to smash it on that table. And then, like, it immediately cuts up to the bat. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, she's going to go do that. She's going to go do that.
So that was great.
And it ended.
That was actually, like, the perfect size ice cream cone. Like, I ate that tune up and I didn't regret it hours later.
Oh, God, yes.
Still delicious. Loved it.
Sprinkles, yeah. Hot syrup, melted peanut butter, all of it. Mm.
And through that ring that we agonized about before, threw it in his face.
Yep.
As she was leaving. Yeah.
I think that might be the lone reason I would want a season 3 was to see Renata on her own, like reclaiming, like becoming rich again. I think I would
love to see what separated Gordon and Renata look like, because you know it's going to be filled with amazing I own you scenes. I had read a comment on the internet that was like, she went all Beyonce on his ass. Yeah, like in Lemonade, the hold up video.
Indeed.
I was like, you're right, she did. That is wonderful.
That is so good.
Which I only remember because Amanda, you're wearing a yellow shirt, and I believe Beyonce was wearing yellow in that video.
She was. You're welcome. I did that subconsciously. Let me turn my fan back on so I get my Beyonce wind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll sing for you. Hold up. They don't love you like I love you. Lay down. They don't love you like I love you. Okay. This is not the broadcast. We can't randomly burst into song, so I'm going to cut it off right there. But if you want to hear more random songs, tune into the broadcast of the Band of Shandy and Colleen. We frequently just start singing random things.
That's true.
That is
a legitimate statement.
So anyway, then she ends it with a wonderful quote, which I think also kind of sums up the spirit of Big Little Lies and the Monterey Five, which is, maybe you should have shown a woman some respect.
Yes.
And then she, you know,
so good.
She hugs Amabella at the end and says, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And even if we don't get a Big Little Lies season 3, can we just have a Renata spinoff? Can that be a thing?
I'd watch that.
Yeah, me
I'd
too.
Watch that. Oh, please.
Like
HBO,
maybe.
HBO, are you listening?
Are you listening? HBO.
HBO, HBO, can you hear me?
Not taking the bait. Not taking the bait. HBO, can you hear me? Thank you for getting that.
Oh, see, that's what season 3 would be better. It's the Barbara Streisand.
I know.
That's, you know.
Oh my God. Can Barbara Streisand play Renata's mom?
Oh.
That would be amazing.
I think that's perfect.
I'm
imagining this character now. HBO, come on, man.
Come on, listen to us. And if not Renata's mom, Gordon's mom, because I could see that too. Let's just make it happen.
I've had enough of the mother-in-law.
What other actresses like that? We've had Meryl. We have our Barbara idea. What other women can we put in as mom roles on Big Little Lies? Let's give some women some work. Ones that don't need any help getting work. Of course.
They can choose.
Susan Sarandon has to be Jane's mom.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
Bette Midler. I feel like Bette Midler would be great as
Madeline's mom.
Madeline's mom. I'd say even her as Jane's mom. I feel we could tie the two together.
I could see that. Yeah. We'll have to.
I feel like Goldie Hawn might be good for Madeline's mom.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yep.
I like that. Wouldn't it be great if Jennifer Aniston did a guest spot as Madeline's sister? Like on Friends.
Like on Friends.
That'd be pretty fun. Yeah. I don't know. I could get behind a season three. That's what I mean, I like the characters still. I think that they did wrong. They did Andrew Arnold wrong, and they did themselves wrong with the chopping up the original vision, especially now that we all, you know, because I think there was a lot of, amidst everyone in the fandom beforehand, like, it's good, but something just seems like not totally right. And then once that came out, everyone was like, oh, yeah. Like,
Amanda said on this very podcast multiple times that some of the scenes were choppy. Mm. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. It
wasn't right.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew Arnold, if you're listening.
Embraced a completely different vibe for season two instead of getting cold feet.
Exactly. And like, Andrew Arnold, if you're listening, you have Shandy's number in central casting somewhere.
Right. And if you wanted to come back for season three, I think we've given you some really great suggestions. Yeah.
just
saying.
The Bette Midler one was golden enough.
Yeah. Just like you don't have to take any of them, but they are on offer for you if you choose to accept them.
If you choose to accept them, yes.
Also, I'm still around, just saying.
Yeah, right. She is. She is. All right. So that is what we had to say about it. We have a little bit of what our listeners had to say. The first one up is from Mike Bloom. What are three storylines you would like to see for a prospective season three? I think we just answered that question. I would like to see, why don't we each name one? I'm stealing the best one that we just named, and that would be Renata, the Renata show with her mom, Barbara Streisand, and she is making it back.
Yeah. Yeah, I would watch that. I think I would like to see Celeste back in the courtroom, maybe being Renata's lawyer.
Yes!
I feel like that would be really exciting to watch. That'd be really fun.
Yes. I think one thing that we got a little bit this season, but not too much, that I'd like to see in a future season is, again, going back to Madeline's relationship with her daughters, especially since the oldest one now is, like, you know, of the age to go to college or not. Like, what's that going to be when she's a young little adult?
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, me too.
I would like to see more of just, I want to see more of Celeste. I want to see more of all of them. I would watch a season three.
Bonnie, now that she's sort of.
Yes. Why didn't we? Yeah.
Strength and inner peace. I would love to see what she's going to do with it.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. I was going to say, does she stay in Monterey? But like, yes, of course she stays in Monterey because of her kid. So what does she do from there?
Well, it seems like
where does she live? Because we're guessing that, like, that house and everything, that's got to be Nathan's money, right? Because, like, I don't know how much yoga teachers make, but it's not that much.
Yeah,
right,
but
we also don't know what Nathan does, do we? Have we ever seen Nathan in any kind of work environment at all?
Maybe he's just has, like, family money.
Or maybe he does work, it's never been relevant to the story. Right. Okay, but yeah, I'm all down with all of those. Gail had responded that she has at least two, and that would be Ed is assertive in their relationship, and Madeline has a hard time with the change since she was the one who ran the relationship. And Renata moves in with Celeste until she gets on her feet. Gordon gets his money and status back before Renata because I like watching her flip. Ooh. I could see that.
That's supposed to be alimony.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, Gail, that's harsh, but I love it.
I could see you. I am here for a pissed Renata, and that'd be a great comment on how men are more easily forgiven than women.
Totally. But you know that Renata, even if Gordon like got his financial status back before her, Renata could still do a lot of harm to his social status, and that would be fun to watch.
It would be super fun to watch. And then Christy said, meanwhile, really not liking the negative press this season has received from critics who clearly don't know what it's like to be married, have kids be abused, and not know what to do. They just don't get the truth about victims.
Yeah, and I haven't really followed the press.
I haven't either, to be honest. Either. Were they Maybe that makes us terrible podcasters about the show.
No, it means that our opinions are our own and they're less influenced by what other True. People have said.
Right. And I think I intentionally tried to avoid reading too many other things because I didn't want to just.
Yeah, I didn't want to. Exactly.
Regurgitating someone else's good point. I wanted the points to be my
Same.
Own.
Same. I have my
mediocre points.
My one go-to blog that I generally read for political stuff, but they do a recap of this, and that's really all that I read about this. Everything else, I don't go to EW or any of, or Variety or any of those because I want to be fresh for the show. But Christy also continues, also, Laura Dern, she admitted that women stay with shitty husbands who cheat. I think for her, that was a truth. Why? Because you still believe they love you and your family, but just made a mistake a la Madeline. Her thinking they lost everything and then discovering he found a way to finagle keeping his but not hers showed her he no longer gave a damn about her or their family at all. That's why it was the end for her. Before that, she thought they were in it together no matter what, but she realized he wasn't even going to attempt to protect her or Amabella. Boy, bye. I think that is so much better put than we could have done it. So yep. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if it was just like everything was fine with them and then it came out that he was diddling the nanny, I think that she would have maybe forgiven him. But I think Christy's right. It's like
once
everything combined.
Yeah.
And then the selfishness of the games and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she just saw that he was just a selfish person.
Mm-hmm.
Matt said, I think I'm probably done with this show. Certainly the recent news doesn't help, but ultimately it feels like the show is only watchable for the performances since the story was all over the place. I can't totally argue with that. Yeah. I wish we could see what Arnold's vision was before a dozen editors were through with it. On that note, has any cast member spoken out about this, especially the ones with executive producer credit? It kind of undermines the whole theme of women supporting each other.
Ooh.
It kind of does.
Valid point.
And I don't know. I was at Comic-Con when this all came out, so I missed a lot of it. I don't think that I know we didn't hear much about Andrea Arnold in preseason press, and she hasn't been mentioned in the roundtables, right?
Nope.
So I wonder if they'll ever say anything. It'll be interesting to see if the show wins awards, if anything will be brought up during award season.
I have a feeling it probably won't because I feel like the actresses with
and the publicists
executive
are
producer
very...
credits are traditionally a little more private.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yes, Reese Witherspoon has done a lot of really wonderful advocacy, but I feel like when it comes to the things that she's actually working on, I feel like she doesn't really like talk to the press so much. So
yeah.
I feel like she wouldn't Agreed. Say anything. But just to clarify, just as the TV production person, dozens of editors work on a show regardless if an editor, if a director has been pulled off a project or not. It takes a lot of hands to make good television. So don't blame the editors.
Right. Gail said, the only thing that I found bothering is Celeste needed to show the video to prove her abuse. And Brad said, meh, when as expected, not really anything earth-shattering, great acting, cinematography, and especially editing. Of course, the podcasting has been stellar. Thank you. The directing, mm-hmm. though, was a little lacking. Winky face. And then to finish up, we have two more emails.
Okay, so the first one is from Shannon. And Shannon says, hey, ladies, I just started listening to the podcast, and so far I'm really enjoying your coverage. I tried a few other Big Little Lies podcasts, and yours is by far my fave.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I just wanted to point out, Mary Louise's lawyer is played by Dennis O'Hare, not Dennis O'Leary.
I know. That was my bad.
Thanks, Shannon.
Yeah. Okay. So I totally messed that up. That was me. And they are very, very different people. And if I was Dennis O'Hare, I probably would not want to be mistaken for Dennis O'Leary. So thank you for calling me out on that.
Nice. And then the second email we have is from our friend Christy. So I was thinking about episode 6 and how it's laid out there in court just how over the edge Celeste has been since Perry died. I wondered how much of that spiral had to do with her lack of closure. Last season, we saw she was taking control to leave him and finding her power. Then Bonnie pushed him and he dies, and she isn't really able to confront her abuser. Does that leave her feeling lost? I could see it. She continues to flail about until she finally seems to get it together her second time on the stand. Then she really takes control when she sees, oh, sorry, when, then she really takes control when she says she wants to question Mary Louise. Then she really takes control when she says she wants to question Mary Louise, who is now her new abuser. I think confronting her will bring her the full closure she needs to declare herself fully free. Cannot wait to see her get that. It will be beautiful, I hope. LOL. Thanks, guys. Christy. Yeah, that's a really great point. That is not something I had considered.
Agreed. Thank you.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. And it's so true that, like, she goes from Perry to this new abuser, which is, you know, like, no longer physical, but definitely emotional. And but yeah, she does finally get to confront her. And I think that she did. I think we could say that she did get closure and she got to regain some of that power back.
Yeah, agreed. Exactly.
Completely.
Which is why we need to see the new Celeste in season three. Also, we didn't see the therapist at all the last two episodes, have we?
No, we did not. I wonder if there were scenes that
cutting room floor
didn't
or
make it into the episodes.
Very interesting. Yeah, we did get a mention of her in the last episode, mm-hmm. When Celeste was on the stand and she was talking about how she had the only person she had told certain things with
was a therapist.
Therapist, and that whole discussion was interesting about, like, why would you hide something from your therapist? But yeah, we didn't get her in person.
All right, thank you to everybody who wrote in. I think we are going to do another wrap-up show at some point. It might not be for a couple of weeks. We might try to have some guests on. We'll see. And that would be if you could send us an email, the broadcasters, that's the broadcast with an ER and an S, 3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. We love hearing feedback and discussing it. Shani, do we have any local news here for your possible last local trip? Blissful trip?
So I think the only real new location that we got was the Monterey Superior Court or the California Superior Court of Monterey County or whatever it was, which luckily I
have no experience with.
Like. Never had occasion to go there. So I don't know if they used the real facade of that building or not. And then we've already talked about it, but there was that scene in the aquarium, which is kind of a classic. I mean, I'm sure you could do that at any aquarium, but it's definitely kind of a classic Monterey Aquarium shot. And yeah. Again, as mentioned, I have many a picture at that very spot. So I will post some screenshot versus IRL.
Thank you. And you will
on the Insta.
You'll put that in the Instagram. So our Instagram is thebroadcasters3. You can just search for it and you'll find us. You should be able to figure it out who we are.
We're easily findable.
We are. We're very, you know, we search well. Okay. Thank you, Shandy. Amanda, take it away with the music, because I have to say the music was really great this episode.
The music was really great this episode. It was very sparse. They used less tracks than they do in most episodes, but what they used really, really well, I thought. So the first one being Peace of My Heart, the Melissa Etheridge version, which is a cover of Janis Joplin, as we, you know, most of us famously know. Gosh, I'm having a really hard time speaking this evening. We first hear this when Ed is out punched on the punching bag. And then the second time we see Ed working out, he is listening to Deep Inside You by Gloria Taylor. Not a cover, but also just an interesting song to work out to, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little little more chill, you know.
It's a very Ed song.
Yeah, it's a very Ed song. I wouldn't say it's necessarily like a get you pumped song. But a great song. The next song, that was Yesterday by Leon Bridges. Interesting fact, Leon Bridges wrote this song specifically for Big Little Lies and probably more specifically to be on the forthcoming Big Little Lies soundtrack. And it plays while Madeline and Ed are making up and are deciding they're going to renew their vows.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Leon Bridges is just the best. I just love
him. He's great.
He's so good.
He's one of Jay's favorites. He's seen him play here in Durham, actually, when he came.
Oh, I've never seen him live. I'm sure it was a great show. I'm very envious.
Yeah. I didn't go. I was at home with Zach, but yeah, Jay went.
He's going to be home with the kiddies.
This was several years ago when Zach was just a little baby. And now he's 5 and in kindergarten and telling us to stop yelling at each other over ice packs.
Oh, they grow up so fast.
They grow up so wise.
So wise. I believe the children are our future.
Teach them well and let them...
Teach them well and let them lead the way.
See, this isn't the broadcast. We didn't burst into song.
Yep.
Oh, Shandy. It's contagious.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Oh, also, did you mention Piece of My Heart was played in full over the credits?
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh, I thought the...
It was another Melissa Etheridge song over the credits?
No, I thought it was the, they just continued the Willie.
No, so, yeah, they did. And then at some point it switches into another Melissa Etheridge song.
Oh, you're good. I don't actually watch all the way through the credits. That's really bad of me. I totally should. So it's entirely possible they went back. I didn't listen that far.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
No, you are probably right. Because you can't have too much Melissa Etheridge in your show.
This is true, actually.
Just that good. So the next song is a reprise, if you will. It's Shake Sugary by Elizabeth Cotton and Brenda Evans. If y'all will remember, this song was playing in episode 6. When Bonnie and her mom were in the hospital room together, and it makes another recurrence in the same space.
Yeah.
When Bonnie is sort of making her peace and finally saying goodbye to her mother. This song has been covered in the past by the Grateful Dead and Bob Dylan, but they decided to use the original. And I think that's really cool that they decided to use the same song twice. I certainly can't think of a time in the length of the show where they've done that. I know they've done different versions of the same song to kind of harken back to a moment. But as far as I remember, this is the first time they've actually straight up used the same song twice to really make it kind of like their theme.
Right.
And I thought that was just a really cool choice.
It's very lost.
And an interesting fact about Elizabeth Cotton that I found in doing my research for this is that she didn't start actually recording music until she was 66.
Oh, that's cool.
And won a Grammy at the ripe old age of 90.
Damn.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I thought that was super interesting.
That is very interesting.
And never too late, folks.
It is never too late to pursue your passions and try something new.
So cool.
Agreed.
So cool. And then last but not least, at the closing of our episode is Have You Seen the Rain by Willie Nelson, accompanied by his daughter, Paula Nelson. This is also a cover. As we know, the show is very fond of its covers. The song was originally recorded by Creedence Clearwater Revival. And this song, it starts as Ed and Madeline are renewing their wedding vows, and then it plays out through the end of the episode before apparently Miss Melissa Etheridge comes back for the credits.
Yeah. That was a beautiful cover.
It really was. I had never heard it before, and I absolutely loved it. It's like the slowed down. I think it just paired perfectly with the fact that like our 5 heroines were coming together and sort of finishing what they started in a way.
Yeah, agreed. I loved it. And do they have an official soundtrack app for season 2 yet? Because when it comes out, I'll definitely check it out, at least on Spotify.
They do. I think I had read that they were making one big soundtrack that was going to encompass tracks from both seasons.
Oh, cool.
But hold on. I'll do a quick search. Keep talking. I'll find some facts about it.
Okay, so we'll vamp for you. I will do a little bit of the housekeeping here. Thank you, everybody who contributed to the show. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to do feedback, we love it. Again, broadcast thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Thank you to the patrons who support us. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do so at the patreon.com/JayandJack, because we're part of the Jay and Jack Network. Or you can go to jayandjack.com and click on the Become a Patrons link on the top right-hand corner of the page. We have another podcast that we do. It's called The Broadcast with Amanda Shandy and Colleen. You can search for it on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. We've got a new show coming out this week. Next week, we actually have an interview with the amazing women from In the Dark, that podcast, and we are very excited to talk to them. So if you are a fan of that, we've been covering that podcast on that show, and you know, check that out or listen for that episode. It'll be out not this Friday, but next Friday. We tend to release new broadcast episodes on Friday. And yeah, you can hear me and Amanda sing more. You can hear Shandy not get what we're singing. We talk a lot about current events and news and whatnot is going on in the world, from the serious political to the silly. I believe one of our biggest news stories that we ever covered would be the superintendent one, right, guys? Remember the New Jersey superintendent? Okay, clearly that stuck out with me.
I can't remember what we did last week.
Oh, the poop guy.
The poop guy,
yes. The pooper intendant.
The pooper intendant, yes. Well, I wasn't going to spoil it for people. I wanted us to have some integrity. That was so a year ago, though. We've had a lot of things since then. But yeah, okay. Yeah, please feel free to check us out if you haven't already. Amanda, did we find whatever it was that we were looking up that I've forgotten at this point?
It looks like there is a separate season 2 soundtrack. Oh, that. There is definitely a season 1 and season 2 playlist on Spotify. I am struggling on the fly to find a release date for
that's okay.
Season 2.
That's okay.
Soundtrack.
Which but means I'm it's sure not one out
will
yet.
Exist, and I'm sure all of you internet savvy people will find it before I do. Yes. I'm still going to be here scrolling around. So, yes. So if you find it, please send it to me.
Yes. So like I said, we are planning on doing at least one more episode for this season. It may not be for a couple of weeks, though, because we've got some more broadcast vacations coming up. Broadcasters vacations, Broad Little Liars vacations, whatever.
Broadcations.
Thank you. We've got a couple more broadcations coming up.
Yes.
So don't unsubscribe from us yet, because we will definitely be back at least one more time. And who knows? I mean, this season comes out on DVD, we'll probably talk about the extras and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, whatever. We're hoping to talk to you guys again soon. So thank you for listening. Thank you to the patrons that contribute a certain level. That would be Joanne with a plan, Drake, the breaker of time, Ed, the creepy mailman, Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, and Maggie the Magnificent. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, guys. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.